Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're continuing a series on the gospel in Galatians. Good news today, from slaves to heirs. That means we're not just slaves to free, but we're heirs of the kingdom. So we're glad you joined us as we study God's Word. And welcome to our team. What a great series of studies. You know, I was a bit scared about Galatians. You know, it's a bit complicated, but we're learning so much about Jesus. And we're glad you're joining us. And it's always wonderful to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. We know we've got viewers, participants in at least 150 countries. You say, Derek, how do you know that? Well, we have an Android app, Hope Sabbath School, which we can follow in 150 countries. The iPhone app in almost as many countries. So wherever you are watching, joining us for an in-depth, interactive Bible study, welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Here's a note from Jeffrey in Papua New Guinea. Jeffrey says, I'm thankful for your studies through the internet, and before every Sabbath, I watch Hope Sabbath School. God has really taught me a lot. Yeah. That's awesome, right? Rather than just saying, it was really entertaining. No, God has taught me a lot. I've also recommended your studies to other Christians, and they too are thankful for the videos. It helps giving me pointers as I prepare for my own lesson study. May God continue to bless your team, the message you share through Hope Sabbath School. Thank you, and God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for writing to us, Jeffrey, from Papua New Guinea. Here's a note from Kevin in California. Any Californians here? California. Oh, yes, Marinella, wave. Well, actually, I know you've got roots in other parts of the world, but you live in California now. And we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School today. And Kevin writes and says, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for the past couple of years, and I've experienced a great blessing every week. Some of my favorite memories are on Sabbath early in the morning, spending time with my Savior and learning with the team, often on a walk, run, or bike ride. So I guess he's downloading the audio file and listening to it. It's dangerous to ride a bike and watch TV at the same time, right?
Yeah.
He continues, I am taught by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Thank you for your ministry and the wonderful study of the living Word of God. May the Lord greatly bless you and pull you each into a deeper love with our Creator. Wow, that's a prayer to pray, isn't it? Thanks for writing to us, Kevin. Here's a note from Monde in South Africa. From the Eastern Cape, I thank God for the Hope Channel. Since I watched your program, it has developed my spiritual growth and helped me to contribute constructively in my own Sabbath school class.
Amen.
So we want you to be active, not just watching a program, but go and share what you're learning with others. And we're excited, Monde, that you're sharing there in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. I make it a point. I don't miss the program. I even happen to know some of your class members by name. Well, we have name tags now, and that helps to get to know each other. I pray for God to give you strength as you spread the good tidings throughout the world. I pray that we will all meet in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That is awesome. Before the throne of God, we'll be together. Here's a note from Ben in Colorado. Colorado, anybody? Colorado in the United States of America. This was an exciting email because one of our goals is that people download the outline and begin to teach a class. And Ben, I want to affirm you for doing that. We have tens of thousands of people downloading that single page outline that we use here on Hope Sabbath School and actually starting an in-depth interactive Bible study. So what did you think about doing that in your community? Ben writes and says, I just wanted to thank you. I've been using your outline to lead a local Sabbath school class. I was asked to lead out about 8 months ago. I'm not only the youngest member of the class, but I've never led out in a Sabbath school study before. But I was a bit unsure. However, as soon as I knew it was my time, I knew I could share what I learned on Hope Sabbath School. I was amazed to see how easy it was to lead out with the Holy Spirit in charge. Everybody has loved the Hope Sabbath School outlines, and we continue to use almost every week. I've now been given full responsibility for the class. Youngest person in the class, now full responsibility for the class every week. I thank God for His Spirit's amazing power to transform my old life into the new life I claim today.
Amen.
You know, when we join God in His work, when we share what we're learning from His Word with others, it blesses our lives and it blesses others through us. Ben, thanks for writing to us from Colorado. And just one, we got a lot of emails today. This is from New Zealand. Trish, just a short note from Palmerston North. I watch Hope Sabbath School every week. I'm learning so much about Jesus and His love for us. You and the team are a real inspiration to us all. God bless you for the wonderful work you do. You know, Hope Channel New Zealand is now reaching the entire population of New Zealand. At least they have the opportunity to watch Hope Sabbath School. So we're glad, Trish, that you wrote to us from the North Island. Here is one last note from a Zambian in Turkey. We are an international group. Sumisu, you were actually born in Zambia, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so here's one of your compatriots, but now you're here in the U.S. and Mwinga is living in Turkey and says, I'm currently in Turkey. The city where I live has no Adventist churches. Every Sabbath, I fellowship with you via Hope Sabbath School. This program has really helped me grow in my spiritual life and for my Sabbath morning worship.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? That's like a lifeline, isn't it? Being thrown out to a person in an area there's very little Christian presence. Even though I don't meet with fellow believers for an interaction to study the lesson, it doesn't seem like I miss out because I interact with you on Hope Sabbath School. I love the scripture songs too. May God bless you as you continue this great task. You are changing more lives than you can imagine.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank you for writing to us, Mwinga, and to know that God is changing your life there as you're working in Turkey. We're going to sing a scripture song. Would you sing with us and all of the rest of you? Let's sing together. It's the theme song for this series from the Gospel in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. What an amazing promise. Let's sing it together. You know, I can't sing that song without just saying, thank you, Jesus. And my favorite Hebrew word is hallelujah. That means praise the Lord, that the Son of God loved us, Stephanie, Sumisu, Marinella, Tricia Lee, Jason, Jamie. I could go on the whole list of us. And you too, the Son of God loved you and gave Himself for you. Amen?
Amen.
And we just want to praise Him today. We are no longer slaves, but heirs of the kingdom.
Amen.
And I'm glad you joined us for Hope Sabbath School today because I want to pray that you would experience incredible joy as we see our destiny in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you love the world so much that you sent your own Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I'm praying especially for those who may be watching Hope Sabbath School for the very first time today. I pray for a life-changing word of hope, that we don't need to be in bondage to sin and darkness anymore, but that we can have a new life in Christ Jesus. Bless the sharing, the teaching of your word by your Holy Spirit today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We've been studying through this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote probably around 50 AD. Many believe it may have been the very first New Testament book. The Gospels had not yet been written. So this is a message. And if you could sum up the message in one sentence, it would be a message of what? You said hope, but it's actually a message of warning, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it has hope in it, too.
Yeah.
The warning is what?
Don't forget the gospel.
Right. Don't go back to some old way of trying to earn your favor with God. But believe what I taught you, that it comes by faith in Jesus. And that leads me to a new life where Christ is actually what?
He's
living in me.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not talking about being unconcerned about how I live. It's just saying I don't earn salvation by how I live. Mm-hmm. So we're going now to Galatians chapter 3. And Tricia Lee, if you would begin our study in Galatians 3, verse 26.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
And then verse 28 of the same chapter, if you would, Galatians 3, 28.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus.
So in verse 26, when he says sons of God, is he just speaking to the men?
No.
No, of course not. He's speaking to whoever will believe in Jesus,
yes.
Right? So what does the title son, what does that say to you? We're part of what?
God's family.
We're part of God's family, right? And we're actually going to talk about that, not only being redeemed from sin and death, but adopted into his family, right? So there's that, your family.
Yes.
You're invited into the family of God. Look in John 1 verse 12. This is not, of course, Paul writing, but the Apostle John. But he also speaks about this new life. Harold, would you read John 1 and verse 12 for us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
You know, the word right there is the Greek word exousia. It means authority. What do you hear there? When you've accepted him, you have the authority to become children of God.
Well, you know, for me, it just means that I have now the ability to claim those promises that he has given to me as a child of God and claim them as my own, as his heir in the kingdom.
Yeah. So in other words, live who you are. Mm-hmm. Live like an heir of the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
So I want to ask a question, because this whole discussion is righteousness come through the law or through faith in Christ? How does my attitude towards the law, which Paul says is just and holy and good, Stephanie, how does my attitude toward the law change? What would Paul want to happen to us once we've accepted Christ and we're heirs of the kingdom?
I think he wants us to see it as a blessing to us. Mm. It's not something that is a restriction, but is a blessing because God loves us.
Okay. Anyone want to add? It's a blessing, Jason?
It's a natural response. When we are children of God, we naturally want to live out the law through our lives.
We want to live a life that will bring honor to
God.
Heavenly Father, right?
Exactly.
We bear his name. You know, sometimes people say, be careful how you live. You bear the family name. Marianella?
And also, it's something that he provides because he loves us. So my response, like he was saying, is because I love God, I want to also do what he says it's going to be good for me. So
it's shifted.
Reciprocal.
It's changed, hasn't it, from a motivation of trying to earn God's approval to a response of?
Love.
Right. Yes. Charity.
And it's due to the deepened relationship that we have with him. Mm-hmm. The closer we get
to him, the more we want to make him happy and be pleased in his sight.
Yes. Yeah, Nicole?
I was going to say it's like a parent-child relationship. Kids now, when they want to please their parents, they don't do it because they want to earn their love, because they want to, they're part of them, they want to love them, they want to please them. So it's like our relationship with Christ. We want to please him, and so we know pleasing him is following his laws and commands.
So even in a human family, it would be really dysfunctional for a child to think, well, I'm doing this so my parent will love me. That's unhealthy, right? We want it to be a natural expression of love. Well, we're going to continue in verses 27 through 29 of Galatians 3. And Alyssa, if you could read that for us. We're talking here about the significance of baptism as part of the family of God.
All right. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. And it says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise."
So what is the significance of baptism, Kenneth? Are we saved by being baptized, or... Baptism's important, right?
Yes. It's very important, but it is our response to make a commitment to Christ.
So, you know, I was told when I was little that baptism is an outward
expression
of an
inward change.
Yeah, an inward commitment to Christ, right? Let's look at the example of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. And Jamie, if you could read Matthew 3 verses 13 through 17, Jesus comes to be baptized. John the Baptist says, you don't need a baptism of repentance. You don't need a Savior. I need to be baptized by you. Let's look at the narrative. Jesus is obviously doing something very significant as an example for us.
The New Living Translation says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. 'I am the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he said. 'So why are you coming to me?' But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy.'"
Amen. That's a beautiful translation. So Jesus says, "Allow it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness." He's setting an example for us. Let's talk about some things that happen, the symbolism of baptism, if you will. Brittany, in Acts chapter 2, let's look at verses 37 to 41. And then in Romans chapter 6, we'll see there's symbolism in the water and in the going down under and coming back up. Let's start in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. And after these two texts, I wanted to have a little discussion about baptism. Maybe someone's watching Hope Sabbath School today who's thinking about being baptized in the name of Jesus. So we want to talk about that together. Acts 2, verses 37 to 41.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them."
Amen. Amazing. So the going under the water is a... what's it a symbol of, according to that text? What's it dealing with in my life?
Remission of sins.
Yeah, that's right. The forgiveness. We might even use the expression, the washing away of sins, right? The washing away of sins. Now, of course, water doesn't wash sins away.
Right.
So what takes the sin away, Nicole?
The, Jesus Christ.
Right, faith in Jesus, and I'm confessing my faith in Jesus in the baptism. Mm-hmm. But let's look in Romans 6. Samiso, perhaps you could take us there, because the Apostle Paul talks about another aspect of baptism, another symbol, if you will, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11.
Romans 6, verse 1 to 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him through baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we shall walk in the newness of life. For if we had been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall not be in the likeness, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
I just want to say amen.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, it's deep, but it's there's something powerful there. So baptism is not just a religious ritual, is it?
No.
What do you hear there, Jason? What's it all about?
Well, it's a symbol of dying, our old life dying, and then resurrection to this newness of life with Christ Jesus.
Yeah, so there's back to the Christ lives in me in our song, right? Yeah. It's like a new life in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Dying to the old, Christ rose. We live with him. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about baptism. Maybe someone's watching. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying, "Pastor Derek, I've thought about being baptized. I read about he who believes and is baptized." You're not saved by being baptized, but it is an outward confession of a commitment to Christ. So how do we know if we were ready to be baptized? Could you be baptized too soon, or could you delay too long? What do you think? Let's talk about baptism. Brittany.
Yeah, well, there's some simple steps that take place in our lives before we make that commitment. And the first is we have to learn about Christ. In order to commit ourselves to him, we have to know who he is and what he's done for us. And then when we learn who he is, then we can choose to believe. And then we can choose, you know what, my old life, I don't want that anymore. And we repent of our old life and ask Jesus for forgiveness. And then we choose to say, "Jesus, I'm giving my whole life to you. Amen. And I want to live for you the rest of my life." And then we make that commitment in baptism.
So I'm thinking I hear you processing Matthew 28, you know, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Do people need to know all things before they're baptized, or are we learning our whole lives, Samiso?
I believe we are learning our entire life. So the first step is just believe in Jesus. And I remember a story in the New Testament in Acts where the prisoners are set. I think Paul is in prison, and he's set free. And the guard comes out. He's about to commit suicide because
this is in Philippi, right?
Yes,
when
in Philippi.
An earthquake.
Right, right. And he says, "What shall I do to be saved?" And that's the question he asks. And as I was reading that, I thought I'd get a profound response about how you should obey all the laws, you should listen to all the commandments, you should study the entire Bible. But he just says a simple thing: believe in the Lord, and you and your household will be saved.
I imagine he had a fairly lengthy Bible study because my next question, well, who is the Lord?
Right.
What did he teach? Yeah. What does he expect of me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
but it's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So what would the danger be of waiting too long and saying, well, I don't know everything? Jamie?
Well, I have a little bit of a personal testimony. So I came from atheism. And for me, I think I waited a little bit too long to get baptized because I was afraid because nobody in my family would stand with me. So I had to get baptized alone. And what happened with me because I kept delaying was it, my overwhelming desire to follow God overcame my fears. And
someone
so I wanted
amen.
To submit.
I mean, that's awesome. You're
my submit or even the shame of having to stand there alone and not have, because I see other people get baptized and their whole family comes and I was alone. And but the other thing I would say is for me, it was a commitment to God to start on this journey because I'm in such a different place 10 years later. Mm. And I hope to be even further along 10 years from now.
Praise God.
And so it's just you take that initial step, but it's a series of steps that'll change your life. Mm-hmm.
The shame of standing alone, but it's a worldly shame that's pushed. It's not godly shame, is it?
Yeah. Right.
It's a great privilege to stand for Jesus.
Amen.
But thank you for sharing that testimony. Yeah. Maybe there's someone watching today, Jamie, in a similar situation.
Yeah, and I would say it took me a couple weeks to realize I wasn't standing alone. Yeah. I was never going to stand alone.
Amen.
That God was always with me. And once that clicked, then I felt, you know, the shame went away.
Fantastic. Charity.
That's awesome.
One of the dangers of waiting too long is that your life could expire before you make the decision. Mm-hmm. We don't know that tomorrow is promised to us. So as we believe in Christ and choose to serve him, let that be the moment that you decide to seek out the experience to learn about baptism and be baptized and be saved because we don't know about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, of course, you're sitting next to your husband, Kenneth, there, right? Mm-hmm. So we could use the illustration of a courtship, and you certainly get to know what it's going to be like. Smile, you're on camera, by the way. you know, you have to learn what it's going to be like to live together. You love each other, and you learn that. But you don't know everything about each other when you get married, right? Mm-hmm. It's a journey. Kenneth's going to give a testimony.
Yeah. That is why in the text that he quoted earlier on in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, after they've been baptized, the verse 20 says, keep teaching them.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It is very vital that, you know, you keep learning more and more about Jesus.
And that's true in a relationship too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You keep learning more, but to just kind of randomly, Brittany, I really appreciate what you shared earlier. You can't have someone walk up to you and say, will you marry me? And you don't know anything about them. You don't know what the expectations are. I mean, that's not healthy, is it? Yeah. Even in our relationship with Jesus, we need to understand what's involved, but it's going to be a lifelong journey. And what I hear Charity saying is don't put something off when the Spirit of God is convicting you. You know what it is to be a follower of Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Make that commitment. Mm-hmm. And Jamie, thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Well, I was just thinking with the marriage example that if you wait till you're going to be the perfect spouse, no one's ever going to get married. And it's the same thing with getting baptized. If you say, I need to know everything first, or I need to not be sinning anymore, then you're not doing it through faith in Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in you. You're trying to earn it again.
Amen.
So. It has to be a step of faith.
You know, that's another challenge, isn't it? We want to just be perfect before we come to him. But the new life comes with Christ living in us.
Yeah.
So he says, come to me. Yeah. As you are? Yeah. Yes, Samisa.
Now, that statement that trying to be perfect first, it's like trying to be clean before you get into the shower, like make sure I'm clean. Mm-hmm. And any time the Holy Spirit presents itself, it's a matter of urgency to respond. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit knows when your life is going to end. It knows everything about your life. And so if it's impressing upon you, it knows when to impress upon you. And it's important to hearken to that voice.
You know, I'm thinking of a text, and I want to just speak to you as you're watching us today, that says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. So, as we're watching today, God wants to move us from bondage to heirs of the kingdom. Amen. But we have to choose, don't we?
Yes.
So I want to encourage you, if you're in that place, to make that decision today. Write to us, sshope@hopetv.org. We would love to hear that you've made that decision. We will rejoice with you. I'll use my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah, because now is the accepted time, isn't it? And Charity said, we really don't know what tomorrow offers. We're going to move on. We'll have some time to share at the end, but we're in Galatians chapter 4 now, verses 1 to 3. And Stephanie, if you'd read that for us. We're talking, you know, sometimes Peter says there are some things that Paul says that are a little difficult to understand. Yes? But he calls them scriptures because he recognizes the Holy Spirit is speaking. Yes. This may be one of those passages. We're in Galatians 4, verses 1 to 3.
Yes, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
The elements of the world. Before we come to faith in Christ, we're in bondage. What does bondage mean?
Slavery.
Slavery. Right, right. Mm-hmm. So we're slaves. We're bound by the elements of this world. What are the elements of this world? Someone go to Colossians for us, chapter 2. Harold, perhaps you could read that for us. Colossians chapter 2, maybe verse 8 and 20. This is the same author. Who's writing?
Paul.
Apostle Paul, right? That's good for Bible study, right? He's using the same words, same author. Maybe this will help us. What are these elements of this world that kept us slaves in bondage?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations?
So let's talk about what those might be. Maybe it's different, Brittany, for different people. Mm-hmm. The basic elements of the world. What do you think?
Yeah, and actually it continues in that same chapter in verse 21 about touching, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle.
And that would be for them, basic
yes.
elements. Could it be different for someone else?
Sure. So what? Maybe in some contexts, it's people who have believed in a specific religion, but there's all these traditions of man mixed with it, mm-hmm. and that could keep you in bondage from accepting faith in Christ as your salvation. Or it could be worldly things that are just hindering us from coming closer.
Right. For example, Jamie says she was an atheist, maybe mm-hmm. not a lot of religious things around, mm-hmm. but there would be basic elements of this mm-hmm. world holding her back.
That's mm-hmm. right.
But it could be for a Jew who's seeking to follow ritual mm-hmm. law, that could be the basic elements. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? The basic elements of this world, Kenneth.
I think earlier on when we read the Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 to 28, mm-hmm. it talks about some of them, one of them being racist. He says there's mm-hmm. neither Jew nor Greek mm-hmm. or Gentile. And this has to do with hostilities between races. Uh-huh. And then it went a step further and talked about there's neither slave nor free. This also has to do with social classes. Mm. And it went a step further and talked about neither male nor female. Mm. And this has to be hostility between genders. Mm. I think if you look at the world today, this seems to be one of the things that the devil is using to create that kind of confusion mm. among mm. us. So when Amen. We are all being baptized in Christ, this old life, these elements of the world, no longer applies to us.
So these worldly structures, yeah. mm. whatever they are, mm-hmm. whether they're religious structures or atheistic structures, any kind of structure that holds me back from Christ is a deadly snare, right, mm-hmm. Alyssa?
And I think for many, many people, and myself sometimes even included in this, just the need to make ends meet and the mm-hmm. busyness of going to and fro, we forget to make that time for Christ. And a lot of times on the priority list, we say he's number one, but really he might come three or four after all the other things we have to do just to survive every day.
And that will come to something we'll look at the end of our study, and that is we may know the truth,
yeah. yes.
that it's in Christ and Christ alone, and we could easily fall back to just yeah. the basic elements, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this expression or word, it's actually a single word, is also used in Hebrews 5, verse 12, in a positive sense. So let's take a look at that. Someone have Hebrews? Yes, Brittany, chapter 5, verse 12.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food.
That's the same word, first principles. In English, we have an expression, you need to learn the basics, right? That's what we say, right? But don't go back to the basics of an old way of trying to find salvation or God or meaning in your life. It's found in Christ. Amen. But we also need to learn the basics of what it means to follow Christ, right?
Yeah.
That's important too. Well, we're going to go on to Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, because this is a beautiful text. People say, you know, Christ came at the right time. So where did they get that from, Marianella? Would you read Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. But when the fullness of the time had come, God had sent for his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Now, there's a lot in there. We're going to talk about this whole idea of not only being redeemed or set free from the consequence of sin and death, but also being adopted into God's family. Mm-hmm. But what's this right time? At the right time. You say, I think any time would be the right time if we're in bondage to sin and death, but that has some significance. Brittany?
Yeah, well, there was promises in the prophecies of Scripture of the right time that Jesus was going to be anointed and that he was also going to die, and we find that in Daniel chapter 9.
So the prophecy had predicted when Messiah would come.
Yes.
We'd be anointed in the midst of the week.
He'd be cut off.
He would die. And of course, you would also rise from the dead. Yeah. So the right time, you would say that's kind of saying right on time according to Bible prophecy?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah? Anybody else? What made this time, Jason, the right time, would you say? We're talking here, at the turn between B.C. and A.D. for us, right? 2,000 years ago. What do you think made that the right time?
This was a time when the nation of Israel was, in a way, under bondage of Rome, but yet Rome ruled the whole earth, and it was a time of peace. It was known as the Pax Romana, and it was a perfect time because there wasn't a whole lot of change socially, culturally. There was one sort of world government, and so the impact of what Jesus was doing would be able to be filled throughout the whole earth, and people would be able to know a similar language and culture.
And by the way, what command did Jesus give to his disciples after he had provided a way of salvation?
Go
to the whole world, right? So, but before we talk about that message of to the whole world, why was it important that Jesus or the Son of God would come into humanity? Mm-hmm. Why was that an important part of the plan, Stephanie?
Because it needed to be, obviously we can't save ourselves, and it needed to be God who saved us. But he came in the form of flesh so that he could teach us how to walk as he did with us.
I guess the simple answer would be because that was God's plan.
Yeah.
But God in his wisdom had that plan. Let's look in we read born of a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means he was the Son of God, came into humanity, born as a human baby. Mm-hmm. John 1 verse 14 gives us some additional insight, Jason. You have John chapter 1? In verse 14, this amazing gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And it tells us who that Word is in verse 14.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Awesome. The Word, this one who was with God and was God, and by the way, it says all things were made by him, right? This is the Creator. Mm-hmm. He comes into humanity, and we call his, what was his earthly name, his human name?
Jesus.
Jesus. And what does that mean?
Messiah.
Savior, right? Yes. Yeah, save. But then he's given the title Messiah or Christ. Yeah. That's why we often call him Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah, because that means he's the anointed of God, right? Mm-hmm. He is the Messiah promised, but he is the Savior. Yeah.
Yes.
The angel told Joseph, didn't he, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. And who is his people? It's the whole world. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Not just the Jewish people, right? Yeah. But God so loved
the world,
right? Let's look in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. We're looking here at why God's plan. We could just say, well, it was a perfect plan because it was God's plan.
Yes.
But Romans chapter 8, Tricia Lee, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the Galatians about the right time, born of a woman. What does it say in Romans 8, 3 and 4?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Now, the born of sinful flesh. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that Christ knew no sin, right?
Yes.
And John said that. He says, I need to be baptized by you. Baptism of repentance. You don't need that. And Jesus didn't argue. So what is it? What does this mean, born of sinful flesh?
It means that he was susceptible to all the temptations that come along with being human. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as if he tripped and fell, he wouldn't feel pain and want to maybe call out and say something inappropriate like we all might want to do. But he experienced what it's like to be a real human being and all that comes along with the temptations and weakness and frailty of being in this life.
I remember someone said to me one time, well, Jesus couldn't sin because he was God and God can't sin. Mm. But the Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are, right?
Yes.
So why would Satan tempt him if he couldn't fall?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
Mm-hmm.
So he had also to trust fully in his Father,
Amen.
Just like we do. In fact, look in Hebrews chapter 2. Look at two passages in Hebrews. Hebrews 2, 14 to 18 and Hebrews 4. The author of the book of Hebrews gives us some beautiful insight about the, what do we call that word for the Son of God coming into humanity?
Incarnation.
The incarnation. That's right. The incarnation. Hebrews chapter 4. And yes, Alyssa, would you read that for us? Excuse me, let's start in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18.
Okay. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted.
Is that good news?
Amen.
That is such good news. Now, was it necessary for the Son of God to come into the human flesh in order to understand us?
Yeah.
Or was it necessary that we would know that he understands us?
Right.
Yes.
What do you think, Harold?
No, he didn't. But for the sake of, for our sakes, he did it because we know that as humans, we have the propensity to compare. Like, let's say if we are like in a difficult situation, we might sympathize with the person, but if we weren't in that situation, we cannot empathize.
That's right.
So when we see that we have a God, a creator, that not only can sympathize, but also empathize, actually, it draws us even much closer because, like, you know what? You actually went through the same thing I went through. Mm. And this is amazing because you're God and you didn't have to do it. But you know what? I'm going to love you even more.
God so loved the world, which is what Hebrews 4 is talking about. And I'd like someone to read that for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15. Marianella, 15 and 16. Just exactly what Harold was saying. Because we have a God who loves us so much and he empathizes with us. He came into humanity. Let's read what it says.
Yes, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Come boldly. Why? That sounds a bit arrogant, maybe? No. Why can I come boldly? Jason.
I think of the word confident. We can come confident because God himself has saved us and he's made us his children. And so we can come as part of the family.
All right, Trish Lee?
Because we're heirs.
Okay.
Yes, my daddy's the king. I can go to him and let him know what's going on.
He also experienced the same probably the temptations that I'm going to experience. So I'm going to come to him so he can give me power to overcome those temptations.
But it's in the context of this loving relationship, right?
Yes.
I can come boldly into his presence. Yes. Well, in the last part of our study, we want to talk about some metaphors of salvation, particularly two that are mentioned in Galatians 4, verse 5. So, Nicole, if you could read that verse again for us, Galatians 4, 5. Let's look at the two metaphors that are mentioned there.
Galatians 4, verse 5, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship.
So what are the two metaphors there? First, redemption. Mm-hmm. And secondly,
adoption.
So let's start with redemption. And somebody read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, the same Apostle Paul who wrote to the Galatians and speaking about redemption. 1 Corinthians 15. Stephanie, do you have that?
Sure,
verses 56. I love that whole chapter, by the way. You know, it's just awesome chapter. It's about our confidence in the resurrection of Christ, that we too will participate in that resurrection. But verses 56 and 57.
All right. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So he gives us, the word victory suggests, it's not an adoption term, is it? Victory suggests what?
Overcoming.
Overcoming, like a battle,
a struggle.
A struggle, and then victory, right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at another verse in Romans 6, verse 22. In fact, we'll look at a couple of verses here in Romans. Romans 6, verse 22. And Jason, would you read that for us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life.
So you got some other language describing redemption. There we had the idea of being
victorious.
Victorious, sorry, the victory. And what words do we have in yours, Jason?
Free.
Set free, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. Struggle, Kenneth mentioned. Victory, being set free. Let's look in Romans 3, Brittany, verses 19 to 24. We're talking about metaphors of salvation. We're redeemed. That's the good part. But which is better, being redeemed or being adopted into the family of God?
Both.
They're both good, right? But let's look at this text from Romans 3, 19 to 24.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
I'm so glad it doesn't end with all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Right.
Because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is
death.
Is death. So that means like, so go and die. Mm-hmm. No, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here we've got the promise of redemption through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. How did he accomplish that? We read in Galatians, redeemed. We've been redeemed from, what was the wording, those who are under the law. Look in Galatians 3 and verse 13, and it will spell it out very clearly for us, Jamie. Galatians 3:13.
The New Living Translation says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Mm-hmm.
So that, by the way, that's a fresh translation. How does he redeem us?
With his blood.
Yeah, by his death on the cross. He was treated
as we deserve.
As we deserve. He bore our sin. He took our death.
Yes.
He offers us the gift of his
life.
Eternal life and his victory, right?
Amen.
New life.
Amen.
To live a new life in Christ. And if that wasn't good enough, we're going to get adopted into the family. So let's take a look at that in the last section. Let's read again Galatians 4, verses 5 through 7. And Stephanie, if you could read that for us, and then we're going to go to a couple of passages in Ephesians and Romans. Same author, encouraging the church to believe that just because I've taken my stand, I've been set free and I'm saved, I'm not just standing around waiting for Jesus to come back. Mm-hmm. I'm part of his family, which, by the way, will give me some work to do. But let's look at Galatians 4, verses 5 through 7.
All right. And the King James Version says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
And if we're going to use inclusive language, we would say you're no longer a
servant,
but you're a son or daughter, right? Yeah. And this word, Abba, mm-hmm. Abba. It doesn't say you call him Father only, but you call him Abba, Father. Does anyone know about that term, Abba?
Right.
Yes. You say you can spell it backwards, Abba, Abba. You know, but there's something more to it. Alyssa?
I've heard it was an affectionate term, a lot like daddy would be for us.
So. Yeah, that sounds a little, boy, calling God, the God, you know, daddy seems a little like I don't deserve to be that intimate, but even the way I say Father, I can go, Father, or I could go, Father, you know. There's this loving
relationship.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, and then Romans 8, 15 and 16, some more insights. Brittany, would you read Ephesians for us? 1, 5, some more insights about adoption.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
How many of his sons and daughters does he want adopted into his family? That is God's plan from eternity past. How many will be adopted into his family?
All those that want.
As many as accepted.
As many as
receive
him. Yeah, as many as accept that plan of salvation. One more text, Kenneth, if you could read for us from Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. There's this idea of not just being saved, but being adopted into the family. And not just some of us didn't have the greatest families, maybe. Others say my family was perfect. But this is a family where you are loved with an everlasting love.
Amen.
Right? The Father loves us. Let's look, Kenneth, in Romans 8, verses 15 and 16.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Amen. So I want to give you an opportunity. We just got a few minutes left to give a short testimony. Jamie, thanks for your testimony today. Really powerful. Someone, when did you come to the realization that God loves you so much? He's redeemed you. He wants to adopt you as his daughter, his son, and wants you to call him Abba Father. When did you come to that place, Marianella?
As a young child, I was learning about God, but it wasn't until I was almost 16 years old. I was 15 years old, and I gave my life to God in the symbolism of baptism at an evangelistic series. And I realized how much God loved me, that all I could do was give him my life and go into the baptismal tank, as in with all my sins in the past, as I was going down into the water as an old person, and then just coming
up. An old 15-year-old
with my old life, and then come up as a new new creature in God, and just know that at that moment my life was starting new again. And that's something that God wants to do for all of us, is
Amen.
Give us an opportunity to come to him.
Beautiful.
And start our life again in him.
Someone else, short testimony. Coming to a realization that you were precious to God. He loved you. Stephanie.
Yeah, I was in a college class in Texas, and this class was studying the life of Christ in Desire of Ages. It's a book. And when I read that book, I realized, wow, God loves me so much. And that's where my journey began.
And you'd grown up also in a Christian family.
Yes.
So what does that tell us? Marianella, you grew up in a Christian family, Stephanie, but you found that place. Mm-hmm. What does that tell us, Jason?
How much God loves us, and even though we may have a good beginning, there is still more we can do. We still have to accept this for ourselves. Even it's not just the family that saves us. It's about the connection with him.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. I want to speak to you today about your personal commitment to Christ. We've learned that Jesus not only wants to redeem us, but to adopt us into God's family. Mm-hmm. And we have a choice to make. I want to appeal to you to make that decision. If you say, well, I made that a long time ago, reaffirm that commitment today. Amen. To live in Christ as your Savior and to live a new life with Christ living in you. Let's pray that can happen for each one of us, even today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father in heaven, and thank you for the message that we're no longer needing to live in bondage, but as heirs of the kingdom, that you've redeemed us and that you welcome us as sons and daughters into your family. Lord, I pray for those making that decision. Just say yes today. God, save me. May I live a new life in you. And I thank you that as we learn, as we grow, you'll show us how to live. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. Write to us if you made an important decision. And don't keep that good news to yourself. You are a new person in Christ Jesus. Go out and share that good news with those around you.